This is Trainer Talk, the podcast, brought to you by Sharon Gaskin of the Trainers Training Company and me, Jeanette Tessier of Get That Course Online. Over the next hour or so, we'll discuss what we've been up to in our businesses, top-of-mind topics relevant to trainers, a cool tool to use online, and an event to consider. Of course, it wouldn't be Trainer Talk the podcast without the Dog Walking Digest, and we'll also cover listener letters, specific issues sent to us by you. You can contact us through Twitter on @TrainerTalkPod, or feel free to email either Sharon or me if you've got a challenge you'd like us to cover. So why not sit back with a cuppa, make that journey or chore go a little bit quicker with our weekly inspiration for developing your training business. Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is Trainer Talk the podcast. We are at episode number 36, and I'm going to bring you three things about the number 36.
Oh, here we go again.
Exactly. So did you know, Sharon Gaskin, that 36 is both the square of 6 and a triangular number, which makes it a square triangular number? I bet you didn't know that, did you?
Funnily enough, I didn't.
No. Well, also 36 is the number of inches in a yard. It's also, in the UK, a standard beer barrel, because it's 36 UK gallons is a standard beer barrel. There you go. That's one for Colin Foster there.
Okay. There you go. I don't know where, can you tell me where you come up with all these amazing facts?
It's a complete secret and got nothing to do with Wikipedia in the slightest.
Okay. All right. Keep that one under your hat, then.
I will do. Yeah. I will do. Brilliant. Anyway, how are you? How was your week? You're back from Swansea, back from your travels.
Yes, well, you know, this is the non-Welsh edition.
Yeah, just like every other edition apart from the odd times you're in Swansea. Okay. Yeah,
West Midlands edition today. So, yes, so we are back. We are back. Got back yesterday afternoon. En route, a little bit of a detour because we also had to go to Southampton for family party thingy majig.
Yeah.
Which actually the thought of going was kind of like on the way back was kind of like, oh, I just want to get home.
Yeah.
But actually it was really nice. So yeah.
Oh, so good. Although that is a bit of a detour.
It's a bit of a
Swansea
detour.
Swansea to Southampton back to the Midlands is
absolutely, especially on a bank holiday weekend.
Yeah. Oh. Horrendous. That must be awful
stopped
traffic.
At the service station on the M4, which was like, oh my God. It's like, really? Has every person in the UK chosen to stop at this service station? All I want is a cup of tea. Oh my God.
Oh, I can imagine. That must have been horrendous. Because I think, isn't it half term or something for a lot of people? There seems to be a lot of people going away.
Everybody was seemingly on the move. So, and it was hot as well. It was warm, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, anyway, and now Jen wants to go out.
Yeah, normal service has definitely been resumed, hasn't it?
Oh, dear, oh dear.
You know she'll want to come back in again in a couple of minutes.
I know she will.
Yeah. Yeah, well.
So it was really, really nice. So, lovely. You know, I managed to keep everything going, to keep work ticking over. You know, yes, they do have Wi-Fi in Wales, so it was fine. And we did, and my goodness, the weather was amazing.
You had incredible weather.
Incredible. It was sunny every day. Thing is, when you go to Wales, you have to have the back seat of your car full of coats because you just don't know what the weather's going to be like. So you've got all sorts of different, you have to take so much stuff.
Mm.
And literally, I didn't wear a coat all week because it was just really nice.
You know what would have happened, though, if you hadn't taken a coat with you? You'd have needed it and ended up having to buy a new one or something. But yeah, you're so right. The weather can be so, so changeable. But you really lucked out there. That's amazing.
It was incredible. Oh. It was incredible. I mean, sunny every single day. It was lovely. And I looked at the weather, actually, for this week, and it's raining all week. So we like...
Really? Yeah. Oh, you did do well. You did very well. You see, I knew it always rains in Wales, but...
Yeah, well, not when I'm there, clearly.
No, clearly. You took the sunshine with you. So don't curse her, people of Wales, just because the rain is back. It's got nothing to do with Sharon, really. But, you know.
But it was really, really nice. So, yes, managed to keep work going, because obviously we did record the Welsh edition of the podcast last week. You know, which was great.
True.
And what else did I do apart from... lots of walking on the beach and things like that. Yeah, I'm all right. So we had a spotlight session last week. You know, fitting in with the Welsh theme, because our expert on the session was Anna, trainer
from Cardiff.
Yeah, from Cardiff, you see. So, you know, it fitted in beautifully. So, yeah, so she was just basically, because Anna is a GDPR trainer, and people popped onto the session. They had various questions about GDPR, because, it really is literally a year to the week since it came in. I remember that fuss beforehand.
I certainly do.
And, the world didn't come to an end when GDPR came in, even though a lot of people said that it would do. And so it was just a good chance to kind of talk about that a year on, look at some of the sort of myths about it, some of the misunderstandings, the things that were kind of blown up out of proportion. And, just boiling it down to sort of practical common sense advice. And, these are the things at the very least you should have in place to comply with GDPR. So that was
excellent.
That was good. That was interesting. Had a couple of mentoring sessions. I managed to keep those going. And then, really trying to sort of pull together Trainers Talk Local, which is very much on our agenda, and you're smiling there because you've obviously been involved in this as well. So why are you smiling, Jeanette?
So a small matter of, I'm not even going to go through the numbers. I'll tell you the numbers later, but there's been an awful lot of work going on behind the scenes to get everything up and running and ready so that we can A, publicise Trainer Talk Local. I say we, that's you, can publicise Trainer Talk Local. I mean, obviously I'll publicise it in my local area, being a local leader for Bournemouth. But as far as letting the greater community of people who are aware of you and aware of Trainer Talk and the Trainers Training Company know, that's all down to you, that one, Sharon. You're going to have to write the email for that one to let people know about it. But of course, in order to let people know about it, we have to have somewhere to send them to, and we need to somewhere for them to book if they want to book up for it. So all of the mechanics and the various bits and pieces behind all of that, I've been beavering away at and getting all of that ready. Some of it is a little bit like herding cats when we're trying to get people to confirm.
Indeed it is.
dates and times and locations and a little bit like two sentences about themselves as a biography. You wouldn't think that was difficult, but it could be. And, things like that. Just trying to get it all together. Oh, Jem's trying to come back in, as predicted. Hello, Jem.
Was that? 2 minutes?
A little bit longer, but still, yeah. Utterly predictable. Has she gone back up on her chair yet?
Yes, of course.
Okay, good. That's all right then. See how long she stays there this time. Jem's been completely oblivious, of course, to all this work going on behind the scenes. We're very, very nearly there. One or two bits to iron out and sort out on that. But it's all looking good, and it's all a bit clever and whizzy in the background, even if I do say so myself, as long as it works. There's always that.
Proof will be in the pudding.
Exactly. So, podcast listeners, if you get to hear anything about a Trainer Talk Local and you want to come along to one of them, please do book up so you can tell me whether or not it works. But tests have worked. That's the important thing.
Yeah, so the system actually relies on somebody actually booking, really, doesn't it?
It does, rather.
Hopefully, I sent out the email on, when was it? My newsletter, Friday. Yes. So the newsletter still went out, even though I was in Wales, and kind of, told everybody about it in principle, that it was happening. Although obviously, we're not going to announce all the nitty gritty until it's all sorted.
Yeah.
But one or two emails back from people saying, oh, this sounds really exciting, I'm interested in that, that kind of thing. So
yeah, great.
Already. And then my big task for today is to set up the Facebook group, because we are going to have a Facebook group for, it's going to be called Trainer Talk Events. Mm-hmm. So it will encompass Trainer Talk Live and Trainer Talk Local. And it really will be, you know, not the place for in-depth discussions, because obviously we do that over in our members only group.
Yeah.
But this Facebook group is just really for people who are coming to Trainer Talk Local or Trainer Talk Live, who are interested in keeping up to speed with what's happening, who can pop into the group and see, you know, if they didn't actually attend, let's say your thing in Bournemouth, but mm-hmm. you know, they're interested in coming to a future event, they can see your photos, they can see your videos, whatever you choose to put there on, yeah. on the day. So it's really kind of the hub for people who are coming and people who are interested in coming mm. in future. So
definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, we'll put again, that's I'm using the word we when I mean I. So I on this occasion will put the link in the show notes for yeah. everybody for that, so you can easily click on that and get to the Facebook group on that one, which has been an interesting sort of part of your deliberations in itself, has it not?
Deliberations, confusion, stress, city, overthinking strikes again, I think.
It does, yes.
I said to you last week, I couldn't even go to sleep one night sort of thinking about, oh my God, I just couldn't get my head around, mm-hmm. you know, we have our thing in Mighty Networks, but yeah. then, you know, that's very difficult to sort of share to people that are not members, and the whole thing just completely stressed me out about, oh. we've got to, you know, we've got to be back on Facebook for this particular
yes.
Project.
Mm-hmm. I think you're absolutely right. And I think one of the things that, and again, hindsight is a wonderful thing, isn't it? I think one of the things that would have been really great for you to know from somebody that perhaps had been there, done that beforehand, which I'm not sure there is anybody that falls into that category, but just to have somebody say, no, it's okay to split them between the two platforms. Because the platforms serve different purposes. So Mighty Networks is a fantastic hub for people to have safe, private conversations when they know only other members of the Trainer Talk community will see that. It can hold all the resources. It's nice and easy to search for things. It's a brilliant way of keeping everything together and making it another resource for Trainer Talk members. But what it's not good at is inviting new people in, because you either have to have it completely private or completely open. There's no in-between measure with that. Whereas, of course, what Facebook can do is allow you to set up a group where you can showcase, in this instance, stuff from the events, which is exactly what we need for this to encourage people to find out more
Absolutely.
About it and to come along. So
yeah, and what was really interesting while I was stressing about this thing and what to do and completely overthinking it, I then posed a question in the Mighty Networks host group, which is a group on Mighty Networks for everybody who is leading, who has got communities on Mighty Networks.
Yeah.
And I posed a question and I asked whether anybody had done this before and what did they think about it.
Yeah.
And got a reply from Gina Biancini, who's like the CEO of Mighty Networks, and said, oh, this sounds interesting. Can you tell me a little bit more about what it is you're looking to do? So I explained, you know, that we've got private community, but you know, obviously we wanted to reach a wider audience to promote our events, and she actually said, yes, I think a Facebook group would be the way for you to go.
Well, I think that tells us everything we need to know, doesn't it?
Kidoke, we've got the royal seal of approval there then.
exactly. But isn't that refreshing to have somebody to say, actually, my product isn't the right product for what you want to do.
Yes.
Whereas there are so many digital solutions where I think they're trying to be the solution to everything and then doing nothing very well.
Yeah.
And whilst it might be frustrating and from your point of view in terms of what you want to do with the group and the community and the growth plans and all the rest of it, actually it's quite reassuring to know that you're also using a tool where they're very focused on, no, we need to get this right and develop down these routes before we think about anything else.
Yeah.
Instead of, I mean, the example I would use for this is one of the online course platforms called Zenla. There's been a version of Zenla around for years and years and years, and for at least the last 2 years, the founder in the Facebook group has been talking about new Zenla that's coming out, and every time somebody said, can I do this in Zenla? No, you can't do it in this one, but it'll be in the new one. And it just seemed to be that every time somebody asked a question, it was, oh, it's happening in the new one. Oh, it's happening in the new one. It's like, yeah. Are you sure you know what's going in the new one? You're just being very reactive every time somebody comes up with something. Now, all that said, the new one is in, I think it's still in beta testing now, but it's getting some rave reviews coming back about it. But would it have taken that long to come to fruition if they just had a really clear plan about what they wanted to produce in the first place? So, I mean, you know, I think there's all sorts of business lessons in there as well about being very clear and very focused about what you're doing. Who you're serving and how you're serving them. I think we're going to boil down to the N word again. It's another niche example.
Absolutely. Right. There we go again. but also the usual, you know, conundrum about, you know, businesses do develop. And, you know, I mean, when I set up the Mighty Networks group, you know, whenever it was 7 months ago, 7 or 8 months ago, I didn't think we were going to do Trainer Talk Local. And this is literally just something that's happened in the last, you know, few weeks. So, and you just have to. And you can't legislate for that, you know.
You absolutely can't. I think, again, it's another form of perfectionism, actually, is trying to cater for every single what-if scenario. And I think you just have to go with what you know and what you can make a best guess at. And then whatever else happens after that, well, you know, either it's the right thing or it's something that has to change and evolve and move forward. And I think you're absolutely right. You know, at the time and still, Mighty Networks is the best platform for what you need for the existing Trainer Talk community. However, this latest... I've called it a brand extension because I think it is a brand extension for you into Trainer Talk Local requires a different tool to make it work properly.
Exactly.
So there we are.
There we are. Yeah. And, you know, before we move on to you telling us what has been great about your week and what you've been up to, just a little word, you know, friendship started yesterday. And nothing. It's going to be a great 2 weeks, that's all I'm saying.
Okay, you're just preparing us for Tennis Talk the podcast, aren't you?
Absolutely, yeah, absolutely. You know, just let me just click on, just check Rafa's not started yet, because he's coming on. He's second on court today.
Is he?
So we'll make this quick, all right.
So, okay, yeah, fine.
Oh, no, actually, I'm just waiting for the first women's match to finish, which I thought would be over fairly quickly, but it's just gone into a third set. So that gives us at least another 45 minutes. So
that's all right then.
Oh yeah, right.
Fine. That's okay. Right, okay. So now I understand. Before we started recording this morning, listeners, I was saying how...
It has nothing to do with it.
I'm going to finish this now. I was saying how I needed us to have a hard stop at 12:30 today because I've got to get the dog out walked and then I've got to go to my strength training session, which was normally be in the evening, but it's bank holiday, so they've moved everything forward. And Sharon was very quick to say, oh, yes, absolutely, we can finish at 12:30. Now I understand why... Because Rafa's going to be playing. That's why. There we go.
No, that is just...
Truth will out. Oh, it's a coincidence,
it's
is it?
It's a coincidence, yes.
Uh-huh.
It is.
Oh, dear. Busted. That's what that is.
Yes.
All right.
How was your week?
So a lot of it has been taken up with a lot of digital work in this last week, actually. So lots of website tweaking and building and sorting out. So I've got three that I'm working on at the moment. Trainer Talk, with Trainer Talk Local, obviously, being one of them, and getting all of that done. So that's been a huge amount of... sort of setting up of bits and pieces in the background, as I was talking about, and a lot of repetition of things in order to make sure it goes into the right channel, the right route, so that people receive the right things, and so that we can track, you know, who signed up for what. Because whilst it would be the easiest thing in the world to have one button for people to sign up and book, actually that then doesn't help us in terms of knowing which event they've booked for. And also there is a differentiation between the price for full Trainer Talk members and the price for online members or non-members. So, you know, all of that needed to be sorted out. And there's also the inevitable sort of thinking through of how it needs to be put together before the actual putting together. So that was that. And then the other website, or another website I've been working on, is a sort of a collaborative joint venture that I'm in with another couple of ladies, and it's all around sort of e-learning. So we've put together, I've put together the website and the email and getting all of that sorted, and it's one of those things where if anybody's ever had any experience of setting up a website from scratch, it's one thing to buy the domain name, so Trainer Talk, for example, or Trainers Training Company, or get that course online, and then you have to work out who's going to host it, so where it's going to live. And if it's not the same place where you've bought it from, you have to then do what's called pointing the domain name to the right servers, which whenever I've done it, and I've built probably getting close to 15-20 websites now, whenever I've done it, they say allow 48 hours.
Oh,
and
yes.
it's
that,
you know,
lovely phrase, for it to
propagate through the internet. But whenever I've done it up to this point, it's normally never taken more than 2 to 4 hours. And I must have been incredibly lucky, because I understand why it can take up to 48 hours. This one, no, the full 48 hours.
Oh, no.
Which meant that I missed the window that I'd kind of planned for building. So I was sort of playing catch up a little bit with myself all week. And also on the third website that I was working on, which is one of my own, which is getting a product out there called the Easy Online Course Builder. And again, it's not just a question of getting the web page up. There's bits going on behind the scenes because it's going to have limited time bonuses and all that kind of stuff. Plus also, you need all the legal bits. You need the bits saying, here's the terms and conditions of use, here's the privacy policy, all of that kind of stuff. There's a lot that goes on behind that. So in amongst doing all of that, one of the things that I talked about at the Trainer Talk Live 2 Fridays ago was I announced the opening of the bootcamp, bookings for the bootcamp in October. So my online course creation bootcamp, which is a small intimate affair, so I only take 5 new people on it at any one time. And that sold out. It was just... couldn't believe it. Just over the course of the weekend, I had I'd already sold one place, I should mention that, and then so I had 4 places left. I had 2 people straight away say yes, I'm really interested, and then another 2 people say actually I'm interested as well, and everybody had booked by the end of the week. So that was extraordinary, because
fantastic.
I know, it's amazing, because I'd already sort of in my head was thinking, right, and then the marketing that I need to do for that, I'll do this, and then I'll do that, and then I'll do that. It's like, oh,
I need to do anything
okay,
now.
Okay, I won't be doing that then, which is wonderful, don't get me wrong, but when you've set yourself up to sort of, right, then I'll write this Facebook post, and then I'll do this on LinkedIn, and then I'll do this video, and these webinars, and what have you. It's like, oh, I need to find something else to use those for now then. So that was great. Fantastic way to end the week, and also start the bank holiday weekend. So that was brilliant. So I treated myself on Saturday. Oh, got sirens in the background. It always happens on a bank holiday.
Oh, no.
Tell you, the first one was 8 o'clock this morning. So I treated myself over the bank holiday weekend and went to see Avengers Endgame in the cinema. And flipping heck, the cost of a drink and some sweeties and crisps and stuff was more than the cost of the ticket.
Well,
oh, my God, it's so expensive.
I know. As any, as I will tell you from many years of taking kids to cinemas, never, ever... go there without taking your own stuff.
I know. I would have done, but I was late back from walking scamp, and it was just like, you know what, I'll just have to get some stuff there, because there is near where our cinema is, the biggest one, there's also a Tesco. So originally I was going to nip into the Tesco and do that, and I just didn't have time in the end, so it's like, oh fine, you know, I'll put up with it. I know it's going to be expensive, but when he said how much, I went, what? How much? Okay. And then they had a problem with the projector. So fortunately, unfortunately, we were there with sort of, you know, music in the background, but nothing actually going on the screen. And then man came down and said, sorry about this, you know, we're just having to reboot the projector, and we'll just take you straight into the film. So it's like, oh, well, at least we don't have to sit through all the blooming adverts. That's okay.
Yeah.
And of course, there is an advert for the Audi, because that's the Audi electric car is one of the ones that's used in the film. So we had to sit through that. And then the film itself, which in itself is 3 hours and something long. It's a really long. So I sort of, you know, geared myself up for that. But it was great. It was really, really good. I really enjoyed it. And that I thought was, you know, I'd quite enjoyed that as a treat for myself. So, hey, you've had a good week. Well done.
Exactly. So, no, well done you. Well,
I think it's important, isn't it, to give ourselves these little treats just to say, no, that was a good week. Let's celebrate that fact. So, Absolutely. All in all, pretty blooming good. And then over the bank holiday weekend, I've just been sort of, you know, fiddling around with the websites.
Yeah.
as normal. and some nice dog walks as well in the sunshine. Yeah. So we can talk about that in the dog walking digest, can't we?
Exactly.
So so there we are.
Good stuff.
Okay. Shall we move on to top of mind?
Let's do that, yes.
Okie dokie. So it's a subject that I wanted to bring to the table this week. And it was just prompted by a couple of conversations and bits and pieces that I've been involved in recently. And it's this idea of being an expert. And I saw a post in one of the Facebook groups that I'm a member of. And it was from somebody saying, oh, you know, what are you an expert in? And lots of people have commented, myself included, but there were also a few comments from people saying, actually, I wouldn't call myself an expert. That's for other people to say about me. And it just got me thinking, especially since the Ambassador Day that we had, and you know, I'm being pushed into calling myself
title.
I know, my new title, the what's it, the UK's number one expert in online courses or something along those lines. And you know, I feel uncomfortable at self-proclaiming the UK's number one, but I am quite comfortable in saying, yes, I am an expert in creating online courses, because I believe myself to be. Now, that in itself, I don't believe, means that I'm also saying I don't have anything more to learn, because I know I do. I know that I don't know everything about creating online courses, but I know that I know a lot compared to, you know, the average person, so to speak, whatever that means.
Yeah.
But I just, I don't think, genuinely, I don't think there is anything wrong with admitting or saying that you are an expert in something, but I do think there's something to be said about the context in which you say it and when you say it and when is it right. When do you know that you're an expert in something? Is it when other people are telling you that you're expert, or is there a trigger? I mean, I don't know. What do you think, Sharon?
I do think that a lot of it is about well, there are some people who put themselves out there, and there's a lot of cynicism around, isn't there, around, you know, inverted commas, self-proclaimed experts.
Yes.
Because the reality is that anybody can call themselves an expert.
This is true.
You know, and to some extent, that's what happens a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of it is about perception. So I think it is about when people start calling, not only when people start saying that you're an expert, but people start talking about you in relation to a particular field.
Yeah.
So if somebody is, you know, like with you, for example, or somebody's coming to you and go, oh, you know, well, I quite often say that if somebody talks about online training, even in or outside the Trainers Talk group, I'll often refer to you and say, oh, you need to talk to Jeanette because she's our go-to person for online training.
Yeah, and I've seen you do that, and that's fantastic.
So if you see that other people are starting to do that, in a sense, that's like a validation for you, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That, oh, yeah, other people are talking about me in that you know, in that capacity. So I think you can kind of take heart from that, for sure.
Definitely, definitely, yeah. I think you're right. It reminds me, I put together a little piece last year, the year before, I can't remember, when I was looking at this in more depth, actually. And just thinking about it from the point of view of, yes, I think that is absolutely one of the things that gives you the confidence to be able to say that you're an expert about something is when other people refer to you as an expert. I think there are other things that sort of are a giveaway, are when people might not call you an expert, but they tag you to answer questions about things. Particularly prevalent in LinkedIn, in Facebook, and in closed communities like the Trainer Talk community. So quite often we will get people asking questions about something, and then one or other of us will go in and say, oh, doesn't this person know about that, or doesn't that person know about that? So I think that in itself is something where you don't necessarily, it's not that you're saying this person is an expert, but at the very least you're saying this person knows something about this stuff, or might know something about this stuff, which again is why it comes back to being so important that people are able to kind of categorize you and put you in a box for what you know about, because then that helps them to be able to go, oh yeah, Sharon knows about this, or Jeanette knows about that, or whatever, in order to be able to tag you on something. I mean I know a lot of people quote the 10,000 hours of practice and all that kind of stuff, and I understand the sort of the genesis of that, where that's come from, but I don't think you can sort of, you don't get to 10,000 hours of having done something and then all of a sudden you tip over into being an expert, whereas previously you weren't. It's like that extra second that tips you over 10,000 hours and 1 second isn't the bit that makes the difference. The principle is the amount of time you've spent learning your craft and doing something. But I also think there is a difference between experience and expertise, right? Because you can have lots of experience of doing something, but that doesn't mean you're an expert in doing it necessarily. I think there's a correlation, but I think they are different things, don't you think?
Yes, definitely.
I mean, it's I was trying to think this morning, funnily enough, on the dog walk, I was thinking about this as a topic and trying to think of an example of to illustrate the difference between experience and expertise. And I guess, I mean, I didn't come to any sort of full conclusion. So let's explore it now and see if we can get anywhere with this argument. It was, I was thinking about in a work context. So when you have people who are very experienced in using a particular computer system, for example, you could have somebody in a workplace who has been using that computer system for 10 years, and then somebody that's been using it for 10 days, a new member of staff or something like that. So one has more experience than the other, but are they an expert in doing that process, or are they an expert in that system? What happens if that system is then phased out and a new system is brought in? They both have the same amount of experience in using it, but is one of them more of an expert than the other because it's a new system to both of them? And that, I think, you know, it's something that you sort of think, okay, well, probably there's transferable skills there. There's something going on. But that doesn't mean that the person who had 10 years of experience is automatically an expert in the new system. And it doesn't mean that somebody who only had 10 days worth of experience of the old system is automatically an expert in the new system.
Yeah.
They've both got the same level of experience.
Yeah.
It's just one might have more applicable knowledge or transfer. Yeah. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, it is an interesting question, because there's no, I guess, you know, there is no set definition of what is an expert, what qualifies somebody to be an expert. And I suppose from your own point of view and perspective, if somebody, if you're struggling to do something, like if you're struggling to get your courses online, you go to somebody who knows more about it than you do.
Absolutely.
And therefore, because that person knows more about it than you do, in your eyes, that person's an expert.
Completely. I mean, perspective has got a lot to do with it. It really does. And it is one of that is one of the marketing lines used by hosting platforms, for example, like Teachable, like Thinkific, even like Udemy and the likes of those. They will say, or there are people in their groups that will say, you don't have to be an expert, you just have to know more than the person you're training.
Yes, exactly.
Or more than the person you're teaching, which in... In some ways is absolutely right, and then in other ways is just shock, horror, no, just because you know more doesn't mean you know the right stuff, and it doesn't mean you know how to train somebody. It just, it's such a double-edged sword, that one, I really feel. Yeah. Because yes, there is this argument that you need to go to somebody that knows how to do what it is you need to do, but then there's the argument of... If you don't know what you don't know, how will you know that that person knows what you need?
Yeah.
Makes sense? So so that therefore leaves the door wide open, as we see, for lots of people in the online space, not just in the online space, but it's more prevalent, I think, in the online space, for people stepping in going, hey, I know what you need. And, you know, leading people down all sorts of garden paths for what they may or may not need. And sometimes they strike it lucky and find somebody that knows what they're talking about. And other times they're just in the hands of a charlatan who is just repeating what they've heard other people say.
So
I think it's one of those things where I don't think there's any answer necessarily to this. I don't know that I've posed a question that needs an answer, to be honest.
But I also think it comes back to the, you know, the putting yourself out there and the persona that you build up, because, you know, it's like we often say about marketing and what makes one person come to you.
Yeah.
And quite often it's not one thing, it's an accumulation of things.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it's the same with the perception that you build up of somebody as an expert. So it could be, you know, that they've written a book, which you've read. It could be that you've seen them, you know, speak. It could be that you've heard them on a podcast.
Yeah.
It could be that you've read one of their newsletters. And every time, at every touch point, they have clearly demonstrated to you that they really know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
And they are an expert.
Mm.
And that's, you know, because of all these little things that have come into your on your radar, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right. I think there's a lot to be said in there for being able to demonstrate authenticity and demonstrate credibility, and those sorts of traits that we would, I guess, traditionally, is that the right word? Traditionally associate with experts, because before, you know, internet marketing became a really big thing, experts were judged to be expert usually on their qualifications, were they not? So, you know, people who were doctors or lawyers or chartered whatevers were considered to be experts or people in authority because they had pieces of paper to say that they'd studied stuff for a long time and had passed exams in it and what have you.
Yeah.
But I would say that, you know, let's take a doctor, for example, somebody who's a newly qualified GP. Are they an expert in being a GP? I don't think they are. I think what they are is an expert in some theoretical knowledge, and you know, I don't know what the process is for training to be a GP, so if anybody out there is being incredibly offended by my lack of knowledge at the moment, here's something I can say for sure: I'm not an expert in. But the principle is that, you know, you finish your exams and you get your qualification, but at that point you are expert in getting the qualification. You're not expert in practicing the thing.
Yeah.
And yet there was a time when, if anybody was able to put the initials doctor, DR, in front of their name, there was an automatic transference of expertise, of authority, of credibility upon that person.
Yeah.
Now, in sort of, you know, the age of digital marketing, like you say, anybody can call themselves an expert, and how do you really prove that wrong? The right or wrong, I should say. Yeah. And the only way to do that is to have these different touch points with them to see them demonstrate their authority and credibility, which again is why we talk about this know, like and trust factor. You know, that's why people buy, because you have been able to demonstrate that you do know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
It's why testimonials are so important, because it's other people saying that you know what you're talking about. So it's what's called social proof, isn't it? So maybe that's something that needs to be added into the mix to for somebody to call themselves an expert. And, you know, I think anybody self-proclaiming to be an expert without having those things to back it up, I think that is something that, that we need to be wary of. However, if you are able to back it up, I don't think there's anything wrong with saying you are an expert. And I get why some people sort of say, oh, well, it's not for me to say. But there is occasionally, I think there's a hint of false modesty in there. Just a little bit of piety. Just a kind of, oh, well, I couldn't possibly say it. So, no, be proud of, if you know about something, you know about something. And some of the people that were saying that in this group that I'm referring to, it's like, no, you know that you can categorically call yourself an expert in this particular thing because you've got enough people that are telling you that. And it's almost as if they're saying, by implication, if you call yourself an expert,
louder.
Perhaps I'm saying the wrong thing. It was almost as if they were saying that, by implication, if you call yourself an expert, then you can't be an expert because it's not for you to say. And it's like, no, you don't. You know, that's your judgment. That's your belief about what it means to be an expert. I mean, I don't know. I could argue myself in circles on this one, I'm sure. I think it's one of those words where, used in the right context, it can be very powerful and very reassuring. But because it's been so misused and so abused by people, I wonder if it's ever going to become something that, if it's ever going to become a word that people can trust again.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I do think there is something about people who have been there and done it, though. And I think we are drawn to people who, you know, because we like to, when we're thinking about going to work with somebody, we draw comfort through the fact that this person has been there and done it. So, you know, I will say in my emails, when somebody signs up for something on the website, and I, you know, the first autoresponder is, you know, is introducing myself and something about me. And one of the things I actually say is that I don't claim to be a marketing guru, because I'm not. However, I am somebody who's been there and done it, and I do believe I know what works and what doesn't. That's all you can say. But I'm not saying that I'm some kind of, like, as I say, guru and expert and I know everything.
But
I don't
know
everything. I don't know. So, and in fact, you know, I was asked to be on another podcast. Well, asked. I put myself forward. They were looking for interviewees.
Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah, and I'll do that. So I'll do that, because they were looking for guests.
Yeah.
And they said, what do you want to talk about? And I said, well, I'll talk about, you know, developing a membership community. And this person came back to me and said, oh, I'm sorry, are you an expert? And I said, well, I don't know, but all I can say is that it's all I want to do is share my journey. I have built two memberships, and I can just talk about what I think works, what doesn't, and what I've learned. I'm not saying I'm an expert, you know, just saying that this is what I've done, and it might be helpful for other people to know, because I've certainly made a lot of mistakes, as well as, you know, doing a lot of right things, you know. So it's
isn't it interesting? I mean, there are two things in there that I want to pick out. First of all is this kind of correlation between expert and guru, and I think that's a really interesting one to explore. And second of all, you're absolutely an expert on creating a membership community. Absolutely. Full stop. Now, again, it comes back to what I was saying originally. I'm an expert in creating online courses. You're an expert in creating membership communities. Neither of us are saying that we know everything there is to know about those two things. What we're saying is we have been successful, and we know what works and what doesn't work from what we've seen and what we've done, both for ourselves and in helping other people. That's all we're saying. But I do think that there is, because there have been so many people calling themselves an expert, and indeed calling themselves a guru, which I think is, for me, that's the more distasteful of the two, is this idea. And I don't know how it sort of came about, because once upon a time, and I'm sure there are in some parts of the world, gurus are, you know, revered. And I'm thinking particularly, you know, India, where it's sort of come from yoga, hasn't it? And those sorts of things.
Right. Yeah.
So
yeah.
People who are considered to be masters of something.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's fine in context, but when it's taken out of context and used by people to imply that they are a master of something, and therefore can you know everything that there is to know, and that for me is the key difference, I think. It's the use of guru to imply there is nothing else for you to learn and everybody needs to learn from you, or the use of expert to say, yes, I know what I'm talking about, but that doesn't mean I know everything.
Well, I certainly don't know everything about membership communities. When I think if I said this last week, I'll say it again, but when somebody said to me about signing up for, I was considering whether to do the tribe course, which is all about membership, developing membership communities, you know, and I was asking somebody about whether this would be good for me because I have already got membership community. Yeah. So is it something just for people who are growing one from scratch? And this person who had done the course before said, oh yeah, you know, I'm sure you would pick some things out of it, but then again, it depends who you've learnt from.
Yeah.
At which point I thought, well, I haven't learned from anybody. Just made it up as I've gone along, Therefore, I bet it might be an idea to go and learn from somebody who knows what they're talking about.
Exactly. And I think there's an awful lot to unpack in there, and particularly fascinating for trainers as well, because, you know, we know that one of the most powerful ways for people to learn is by doing it wrong. It's by trial and error. It's by actually going out there and experimenting. So in some ways, your learning path has been way more powerful than somebody that has just sort of woken up one morning and go, right, I want to learn how to create a membership community. And they've just gone and enrolled in something like Tribe and learnt everything there is to learn. Now, there's nothing wrong with doing that. Everybody has to start somewhere. But is there not more... a deeper level of learning, I should say. I was gonna talk about more value or more validity, but I don't know that that's necessarily the case, because if you do choose to learn directly from someone when you're starting from a point of no knowledge, and you're learning from someone who knows absolutely what they're talking about, then there is validity in what you're learning and what you're doing, definitely. So that's not what I'm trying to say, but there is something to be said for having this trial and error learning path in what you're doing, because you do know what works and what doesn't work, and it is ingrained because you've lived through it. You've not just listened to somebody else going, don't do this, because you've actually been there and done it and gone, oh, that didn't work then.
That didn't work. Oh, plenty of things I can tell you about there.
completely. And it's sort of, you know, I mean, this is throwing up all sorts of questions for me at the moment, because that's how I learned to create online courses. It was trial and error. And, you know, it wasn't until a good 2-3 years after I'd started on my path of learning about online courses that I actually paid for knowledge from somebody else. In this instance, it was from somebody to learn about launching and sort of, you know, more of the marketing and sales aspect of what I was doing. But the actual learning how to create an online course and what makes a good one and what is best practice in online course creation, that was huge amounts of trial and error that I did. But now, of course, what I do is sort of give people the accelerated version of that learning path through helping them get that course online. Yeah. So it's kind of, am I creating a situation where I'm not giving people the deeper learning that they could have by doing it themselves? Well, yes, but that doesn't mean that they're not still going to get a deep level of learning, because there is still much trial and error in what you're doing. And for example, I will say to everybody coming on any course that I offer, for your very first online course, please pick something that you already train. Pick a subject that you already have content for. You will need that because you're learning about so much else. And without fail, at least one person in every class, oh no, I want to do this new thing. Okay, but I can tell you for sure that you're going to make life an awful lot harder for yourself by picking something new that you don't have any content for. Oh, well, I want to do it. Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, and then they have that deeper learning. And, you know, there is a lot to be said for not passing everything first time. You know, having those, I know we've talked about failures before, and for me, failures don't exist. It's just things that haven't worked. But there is a lot to be said for having those things that don't work, because you get the learning from that, and that's what contributes to making you the expert that you are in somebody else's eyes. Yeah. So is that then what we're saying, is that you are, in order to be able to call yourself an expert, you have to be seen as an expert by other people, and for them to refer to you as an expert, and then it's what, legitimate to call yourself an expert? Would that be?
I think so. If people, as I said, you know, before, people are describing you consistently as the go-to person and referring you on because they believe that you are an expert or you are a go-to person, then it's quite legitimate to call yourself one.
And it's not boastful, it's not arrogant,
it's just fact, isn't it?
Absolutely. I will fall short of calling myself a guru, though.
Oh, no, we don't do gurus.
No, we don't do that. Cool. Okay. Good talk. Good discussion. It is, isn't it? I mean, we could go for ages on this. And as you know, a couple of years ago, I was considering writing a book on this stuff. So who knows?
At the very first mastermind meeting.
I know. So that may well still come to fruition one of these years. Who knows? Yeah. But I promise I'll have my thoughts in a bit more logical order by that time. But anyway, great discussion. Anyway. Listeners, if you have any thoughts or comments on that, then as always, we're very happy to hear from you about that. At Trainer Talk Pod is our Twitter handle. Or equally, you can email either of us, Sharon@thetrainerstrainingcompany.co.uk or GT@getthatcourseonline.com. Ah, there we go. That's the corporate-y stuff out the way. Should we move on to the dog walking digest? How did Jem enjoy Swansea? Did she like it?
Oh, she absolutely loved it. She had so many walks. She was exhausted.
I'll bet.
She was really exhausted, but yeah, it was great. The only thing, obviously, at this time of year, you can't take dogs on the beach.
Sure.
But you know, that was, so she didn't have a paddle. Aww. So that was sadly lacking. But no, lots of going up very steep hills, plod, you know.
Which was nice. That and the stairs in your temporary home as well, poor thing.
But what was really funny about the stairs, and this is amazing, isn't it, about how dogs, they just adapt.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, the first day we were there, she was literally sitting at the bottom of the stairs going, oh my goodness, how do I get up here? And we were literally having to shove her up, you know, give her like a bit of an aid. But honestly, after about, you know, a couple of days, she got used to it.
Yeah.
Either just had figured it out or was taking a run up at it and was just completely comfortable. So they're just so adaptable, aren't they? They just learn so quickly.
They do. It's for sure one of the things that I admire most about dogs is their adaptability. And, you know, they won't be defeated by something.
No.
It's sort of, you know, okay, I might take a while about it, but I will work my way around. I'll work out what I'm going to do about this. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Aww.
So it was really impressive. She had a bit of ice cream, you know.
A little prize. Did.
Yeah, a little bit of cone dipped in ice cream. It's got to be done. But yeah, overall, had a lovely time, and it's now back to normal, sitting on the chair and annoying me by getting up. And close the door all the time.
Nothing changes. They do like their routine, don't they? I mean, they get excited by new walks and new smells and that kind of thing. But there's definitely something to be said for the routine. So back to normal now, Jem, for a little while.
Yeah,
Monday mornings. Yeah, you keep annoying Sharon. It's not a problem. It's absolutely fine. Scamps had a good week. I mean, nothing much really to report other than the incident that we mentioned a few weeks ago. Got an email last week to say that it's definitely been referred to restorative justice. Apparently it's up to the man concerned to arrange all of that and all the rest of it. So I shall wait to see when I'm invited to a meeting. So that'd be interesting. And in terms of dog walking, it's been It's been relatively quiet, actually. It's a bit of a weird time of year in that because it's starting to get warmer and obviously it's lighter in the evenings as well. So people are sort of, the walks become more and more staggered in terms of the people that you see out at normal times. So I've been out, depending on what I've been doing, anything between 4 o'clock and 6:30 in the evenings. And we've seen lots of different people, but normally there'll be a sort of a period between that adjustment between sort of winter and summer, otherwise known as spring. So that's when normally people are walking around about sort of 6 o'clock-ish and you get a gathering down by the pond. And then it kind of stretches out again as the evenings become lighter. And then as we get closer to the autumn, it goes back again to sort of people are around about 6 o'clock again. And then, of course, the nights draw in and you know, it's just a bit of luck if you see anybody over the winter months because everybody's walking at different times. So it's been nice. He's sort of had a bit of a play around. He's seen a couple of his mates. And although he doesn't do brilliantly in big packs, he gets a bit too overstimulated. He did really well the other week. There were about 5 or 6 other dogs, all of whom he knows, and he behaved himself really, really well. He was having a nice play, and we couldn't stay with them for the entire walk because I had to get back for something. I forget what. Probably doing the Train Talk website. I mean, you know, such a slave driver, listeners, honestly. But it was just one of those things where he was just playing so nicely. I didn't want to pull him away, but at the same time, I didn't want to push it in case he then tipped over into being overstimulated and started getting a bit sort of, you know, snappy and grumpy. But he's doing really well, really well at the moment.
Oh, good stuff. Well, we can add one more thing to Jem's list of phobias or things that make her bark.
Uh-oh.
Can we add surfboard?
Oh, no. Oh, no. A surfboard on the beach, I presume, rather than surfing out at sea.
Walked past carrying a surfboard.
Yeah.
She didn't like that, so
she
was barking at it.
Oh, no. Oh, dear.
It falls into the same category as traffic cones, doesn't it?
I suppose. I'm sure at some point in the future, somebody terribly clever is going to invent something where we can actually interpret the thoughts of a dog. Sometimes I really wish we could fast forward to that point in time. So we just go, really? Really? I don't know.
Well, you know, we're sitting there on a bench in front of the beach and just walking, and these people are walking past. And and sometimes, you know, she doesn't always like certain dogs, so she might have a bark. But generally, just people walking past, she loves people, no problem. This bloke comes walking along, she's barking her head off. I was like, why? I thought, he's carrying a surfboard.
Obviously. Oh, Jem.
I know.
So you could never, you know, take her to Newquay or something like that.
Obviously not, you know.
No surfing holidays for you, Sharon.
Indeed. She's funny. Aren't they funny?
They are. Very funny indeed. Very funny indeed. Right. Okay. So that was a dog walking digest. We don't have a book of the week this week because you were too busy relaxing on your holiday.
Yes, indeed.
You know, some people read books to relax. Just throw that one out there. But
I didn't do. Do you know what? I didn't do. I was between working as normal.
Yeah.
Going out for walks and doing the I didn't do any reading at all, never mind business, but I didn't do any reading at all.
It's too easy to beat ourselves up, isn't it, about what we should in inverted commas be doing, and actually the point for you was to have a break. And yes, there were things that you needed to do to keep the business ticking over, but that doesn't mean that you were simply going to be operating as normal just in a different location. The whole idea of being there is that you take advantage of the lovely walks being a different place. So, you know, it is what it is. That's fine. And we don't have a specific event to talk about. But of course, what we have been talking about are the Train to Talk local events that will be coming up. So hopefully, fingers crossed, actually, by the time the podcast comes out on Friday, we will also be in a position to be directing people to the website pages as well so that they can read up more. Find the one that's closest to them and read up more. And of course, that's the other beauty about the local events is that you don't have to go to only the ones that are in the area that you live, or the closest to wherever you live. You can, you know, if you happen to be in London for a meeting, for example, and, and you're not normally in London, then you could still go to a train at all local event if the dates coincided, that kind of thing.
Yeah, and you can still, of course, continue to go to train at all live as well.
Well, that's the whole point, isn't it? You know, these are sort of very
mini events,
mini versions of train at all live ish. So each one will have its own sort of little flavour, won't it? Depending on who the local leader is and what they choose, what topic they choose to discuss, that kind of thing. So mine, for example, in Bournemouth, I'm aligning it to what our speakers have talked about at Trainer Talk Live, so we can bring that discussion into it and just have a chat around some of the things that have been thrown up about that. But I know that Emma, for example, in Cambridge, her first one is going to be talking about pricing. Absolutely. And Jennifer up in Perth in Scotland is going to be talking about marketing your training business. So I think there's going to be lots of variety in there. And what we will do, obviously, with the Trainer Talk Events Facebook group is make sure that that's where people can see just what's gone on at these things. And, and like you say, photos, videos. Feedback,
all that stuff.
Exactly.
Oh, it's all exciting.
It is very exciting. Very exciting indeed. Right, okie dokie. So if we've got no book and no specific event to talk about, then we can move on to the cool online tool. And this week, what I have got for us is a Chrome extension. Chrome has the best extensions, I tell you. And I've got one for next week as well. But this week's one is something called Video Speed Controller. And the reason that it caught my eye is that occasionally I will be watching a video on Facebook or on LinkedIn or something like that, and you want to watch the video, but either the person is speaking just that little bit too slowly for you, or you don't quite have enough time to watch the entire video before you have to go off to somewhere else. But if you could only fast forward or speed it up rather, to sort of 1.5 or even 2 times speed, you'd still get the essence of the video, be able to see it and have time to go off and do what you wanted to do. So Video Speed Controller, if you download this extension for Chrome, what it gives you automatically is the ability to speed up any video that you see on anything that you are browsing through Chrome. So anything on Facebook, anything in LinkedIn, anything on any website that has got a video on it, it gives you the ability to fast forward it. I haven't found something that it hasn't worked on yet, and I've been playing around with it for a few days. And it's great. It's really, really subtle. It just sits in the top left-hand corner of the video. And if you hover over it, it sort of expands into a little bar where you can click just to plus the speed or minus the speed. And it does it in very short, in small increments, I should say. So, you know, you sort of click it 5 times to speed up to 1.5 speed, 10 times to speed up to 2 times speed. You can get it to fast forward through the video, all of those sorts of things. Just really, really useful for if you're just thinking, I do want to listen to what this person has got to say, but I don't have enough time, or they're just speaking that little bit too slowly for me.
And
this, interestingly, is one of the things that I talk to people about when I talk to them about speaking on camera. Is there was a lot of talk about people having to speak at the right, in inverted commas, speed for video. And what I would say to you is make sure you get a hosting provider that gives people the ability to speed you up or slow you down. And then you don't need to worry about it. You just speak at the speed that is normal for you, because you need to feel natural in order to come across confidently. So if you're trying to speak more quickly than you're used to, or speak more slowly than you're used to, then that's going to be another thing that you have to think about if you're not confident on camera. And certainly something like the Video Speed Controller, this Chrome extension, just again is another reason why you shouldn't have to worry personally about your own style when you're speaking on camera, because there are things that can take care of that for you. And just because you speak at a speed and somebody goes, oh, actually I quite like to listen to you at 1.5 speed, it doesn't mean they don't like you or what you're saying. It's just that for them, they are able to digest that information a little bit more quickly. So really useful little tool, I think, and I've been having some fun playing around with it over the weekend for sure.
I bet.
So I should put the link to that in the show notes for everybody. And good. I think we are done. We're done in plenty of time for me. We're done in plenty of time for you. Have you checked? Is he on yet?
I wouldn't have thought so, because unless that match was over very quickly. Let me see. Oh, hang on a minute. Oh, hang on.
Uh-oh.
Hang on. Oh, hang on a minute.
Pause while we wait for Sharon's phone to refresh.
Yes. No. Yeah. No, I don't think it's on yet. So I think they're just waiting to go on. They'll be on soon.
Oh, well, there you go. Perfect timing. Yeah, so you've got time for a cup of tea.
It's amazing, isn't it?
I've got time to walk scamp before I have to go off to my strength training session. It's all worked out beautifully, you know.
Yeah, indeed.
Brilliant. All right, then. And we're only just over the hour. So so we have
maybe
to...
Maybe we should have Rafa on every week. Just saying.
I wondered how long it was going to take you to make that suggestion. Yeah, sure. Okay. So... what I was going to say was that we had to mention Mr. Simon Linnard, just who mentioned in his post on Mighty Networks about last week's episode, where we called it a bumper edition. And he said, I thought every week was a bumper edition. Well, you know, some weeks are longer than others. So it was quite a bumper edition last week. So just to get people used to, we don't always talk for that long. Sometimes we do, but not always. We're only coming in at sort of, you know, an hour and 5 minutes ish this week. So that's not too bad. But as always, thank you for your time and your patience, listeners, in listening to us. We do very much appreciate it, and we will be back again for you next week. But until then, take care. Bye.